So when we learn some of the other tenses, like the future tense, the aorist, other tenses that we have to learn, you know, perfect, they don't follow this Gunna system. I was talking about this last week. But it's these four that do. And you always learn these first, right? And you always learn the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth first because the Gunna sign ends in us, so the Sundays are all the same. So for the first Gunna, if you remember, the Gunna sign is For the fourth group, it's ya, that ends in For the sixth, it's again. And for the tenth, it's ya. Mm-hmm. Right, so the Sundays are all going to be exactly the same. That's why you learn these four, and then we'll learn the other ones later, like the second and the fifth and the seventh, eighth and ninth. Mm-hmm. Because those Gunna signs don't end in so they have different Sundays. That's why. Also, the first Gunna is the most common. You know, so these are all the most common Gunnas, actually. Okay, so the imperative is a command, wish, or prayer. And sometimes in translation it can get confusing because we're used to saying something like I go, or you go, or he, she, or it goes. But this is may I go. You have to add that may. Let him go, you know. Please go. So you have to get the hang of that, you know.
Sounds kind of it's formalized, right?
Yeah, you have to add the may I go, and the nominative is still nominative case. Like if I say, Ramaha, Rama, Gachati, Rama goes. Let me just give you an example using the third person singular. In the present tense, if I say, I'm going to not just break the Sunday. Ramaha Gachati. Right? Gam Gach means to go. So Ramaha Gachati, Rama goes. In the past tense, it would be Ramaha, remember the mm-hmm. Agachat. Rama went. Rama goes, Rama went. So here's present. Here's past. These are your tenses. Now we're going to do the mood, imperative. If I say Ramaha, and then I give the third person parasmai for the singular of gum, it's gachatu, which we'll learn in a minute, but take my word for it for now. This is the third person singular ending of the imperative. Ramaha gachatu. Rama goes, Rama went, Ramaha gachatu. Let Rama go. May Rama go. Let Rama go. May Rama go. Again, looking at your book, you can follow on with that, with the handout. In the book, on page 45, look at the endings in the book on page 45. See the Parasmaipada on the right, on the left, and Atmanepada on the right. Ani, Ava, Ama. Blank. I'll show you what that looks like in a minute. Blank, Tum, Ta. Tu, Tam, Unto. Everybody see? Ani, Ava, Ama. Blank, Tum, Ta. Blank means no ending. Tum, Ta. Tu, Tam, Unto. Go down to the declension right below on number 56 of Bud Bod. Bud, to know. Bud takes guna, becomes Bod. It's a first parasmaipada, so Bod plus A is Bodha, plus Ani is Bodhani. Everybody see that? Bodhava, Bodhama, there should be no problem there. You're just simply adding the endings on. Ani, Ava, Ama. So Bodhani, Bodhava, Bodhama. Go to the second person. No ending. So that means, what that means then is you take the root Bud. Bud becomes Bodh, because first Parasamipada, plus the Gana sign, Bodha. No ending. So you have Bodha, that's it. Gum would be for Gacha. You know, so you just put the Gana sign on, what you put the root through, whatever changes it's going to go through, and add the Gana sign, and then that's it. So notice here, it's Bodha. Everybody see that? Because no ending. Do you see it, Emma?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the next ending, tam. Bud becomes bod plus a plus tam. Bodha tam. Next ending, ta. Bud becomes bod plus a plus ta. Bodha tam. Third person. Tu tam antu. Bud becomes bod plus a plus tu. Bodha tu. Tam. Bodha tam. Antu. Now remember, Bud becomes Bod plus A, and then whether it's Anti or Ut or Unto, the A plus A stays short. Doesn't become Bodhantu. That's true all the way through in Parasamipada and Atmanapada. If the ending begins in a short A, and the Gana sign ends in an A, that A plus A doesn't become A. One drops, it stays short. Okay? So Bodhantu, not Bodhantu. And same with Bodhanti, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bodhat, same thing. So if it begins, the ending begins with a short it stays short.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Let's go over to the Atmanapada side. Okay. A, Avahe, Amahe, Swa, Itam, Dvam, Tam, Itam, Antam. Again, the Atmanapada is noted for these E's that is going to form an A, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look. Go down to Manye. Man is a fourth Atmanapada root, so it's going to take a Ya, because Ya is the Gana sign of Man. If you remember, in the fourth Atmanapada, the root stays the same. There's no Guna or anything in the fourth Atmanapada, but the Gana sign is Ya. So here you have Man to think. Man plus ya plus I. Up ya plus I would be I, right? So manyai. A plus I is I. Manyai. Any questions about that, Sandy? If you have an A plus an I, it becomes I. Stays as I. So manyai. Now avahai. Man plus the Gana sign, ya. Plus avahai. Manyavahai. Amahai, man, plus the Gana sign, ya, manya, plus amahai, manyamahai. Everybody see? Go to the second person. Man, plus ya, plus swa, manya swa. Itam, man, plus ya, plus itam becomes manyetam. What's a plus e? A, right? So, Sandi. R, A plus E or E becomes A. So, manye tam. Dwam. Man plus ya plus dwam. Manye tuam. Tam. Man plus ya plus tam. Manye tam. E tam. Man plus ya plus itam, manyetam. Man plus ya plus antam. There's the a of the ya, manya, and the antam, it stays short. A plus a is going to stay short, so manyantam. Everybody see? Now let me just have you note something. Look at the third person dual in the Parasamipada, Bodha Tam. The ending is Tam. in the Atmanepada, tam is the ending for the third person singular. So manyatam. Same ending. But it's not going to be confusing for you because the verb, the noun will tell you what it is. Like if the subject is in singular, then you'll know. Or if, also if you happen to know that the verbal root is atmanepada or parasamnipada, you'll know. But even though, I mean, this type of duplication comes up quite a lot, even in the Vibhaktis, when Ramaha, 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 there'll be forms like the three Bhyams and the, you know. But the context usually always takes care of it. Everybody clear on that? Look at you. Look at your impairment.
I'm clear.
Okay. Well, if you, not that you remember it, but if you understand my running through it.
Yeah. Yes.
That's all I want. If you look at your, do you have your imperative sheet here? What might help you is if you remember in the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth gana, to look at these endings and then go through and study these to see how they're being added on. And remember that then the first gana, you have to remember the rules. In the first gana, the gana sign is a. Ending vowel and short middle vowel take guna. In the fourth gana, the gana sign is ya. Nothing happens to the root, stays the same. Sixth gana, nothing happens to the root, the gana sign is a. Tenth gana, the penultimate middle vowel takes guna, the ending vowel takes vriddhi, and the gana sign is aya. So you have to go back in your notes and kind of remember to be so that you can recognize when, that you can spot that yeah, you can spot that yeah. You can spot an and then see, oh, in this case, the middle vowel is not taking guna. Like if you look for the example of vish, it doesn't become vish, it's because it's six guna. But if you look at the bud takes, you know, guna, because it's first guna. So these things they should just become familiar, you know. I have to always still, now I'm teaching this so that I go back and re-memorize these. I don't have these by heart. I have them by heart in terms of reading. It takes me maybe a couple of minutes to remember them, to be able to recite them to you. Mm-hmm. But when you're reading, I have them by heart reading. I don't even think about it. I see it. But you should just go over them and become really familiar so that when you're reading, you'll have recognition, you know.
And it helps with the translation?
You have to know, right, for the translation.
Yeah.
You have to know this is an imperative.
Oh, no, it's an imperative, absolutely. Oh. But to know the conjugate, like which class it's in?
Only if it does help, you know, because the ya can be a passive sign.
Exactly.
You know, and that type of thing. And also, say you want to look, say your vocabulary is limited, of course. You need to be able to look up a word in the dictionary. So you should be able to take O's and O's back to O. Take, you know, Boda, you should be able to take it back to Bud. And then you look at Bud, and Boda will be under Bud. See what I mean? And so. Yeah, we want to become familiar with these because then what happens is after a while, once your mind naturally takes things back to the verbal root, you'll see all kinds of words that have the same verbal root. So you'll know what the basic meaning is and your vocabulary just expands exponentially because you have the basic sandhi and your mind goes back to the verbal root and you know what the form is. So it's very nice that way. You know, so. Yeah. So you want to read over these and become familiar. Like, at this point, you should know, okay, there's a present tense, there's a past tense, there's an imperative. Mm-hmm. Now, next week, since our time's up, we'll translate a lot of imperative sentences so you can see, get used to seeing them. So let me show you in here, if you want to look through and look at these. In this book, the imperative is on page 85, And then you'll see the imperative parasmipeda is on page 85 in your Bhandaka. And the atmanepada is on page 88. So I thought what I would do, because it's probably all we don't have time for, is translate maybe 10 sentences or, you know, 8 to 10 sentences on page 86 and then go over to page 89 and translate a bunch of Atmanepada sentences. Just so you can get used to translating and hearing the imperative, right? We have 2 minutes now. Go to page 86 in your Bhandaka.
Okay.
I'll do a couple of them so you can just get the hang of it. These simple sentences are quite simple. And another thing I want to add is you'll see in these sentences, the imperative, often they'll be evocative. Like, hey, Rama, will you do this? Hey, Rama, please go to the store. You know? So there'll often be a vocative address. So you have to be ready for that. So let's look at the first one. Sattvam Jayatu. Sattvam Jayatu. Repeat.
Sattvam Jayatu.
Sattvam means truth. And Jayatu comes from the root G, to conquer or be victorious. May truth be victorious. Right? Truth, sattva is a neuter noun and it's the nominative here. So may truth be victorious. May truth conquer. Sattvam Jayatu. You see? Vatsa Pitaram Pranama. Pitaram Pranama. Vatsa means a child. This vatsa is in the vocative, O child. Pitram, accusative singular for father, for pitra. Pranam. Nam means to bow. Pranama is in the second person. Doesn't take an ending, right? So pra plus nam. Mm-hmm. It's the first parasmipada. So pra plus nam, a. O child, prostrate to your father. Pitram pranama. May you prostrate to your father. May you bow down to your father. Do pranams to your father. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the next one. Is everybody with me on this?
Mm-hmm.
Ayodhyam dutaha gachantu. Read.
How come you said dutaha?
Because I put the sandhi in. Ayodhyam dutaha gachantu. Okay. Ayodhyam is in the, from Ayodhya, it's the name of a city, it's in the feminine accusative singular. A duta is a messenger. Dutaha is in the a nominative plural. Messengers. Gam gach gachantu. Third person plural. So what does it say?
The messengers went to Ayodhya.
Except it's an imperative.
Oh, go.
No.
May they go.
Or,
I'm telling them to go.
But you would say like, may could be like this. It's not, oh, messengers, go. Next, because it's on the second person.
Oh, you're right.
So you have to say, let the messengers go to Ayodhya,
right.
Or may the messengers go to Ayodhya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But usually it would be let them. Let the messengers go to Ayodhya, because this is third person. If I wanted to say, oh, messengers, right, then I would still say dutaha, because third person's vocative singers, dutaha, but it would be gachata, right? Because gachata is for the second person, is the second person plural.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, messengers, gachata, go to Ayodhyam, Ayodhyam gachata. Dutaha, O messengers, you go to Ayodhya. But this is gachantu. Dutaha gachantu. So now, dutaha is the third person, the nominative plural.
Mm-hmm.
May the messengers go to Ayodhya.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it translates. We'll do one more. And stop. Putravashwam arohatam becomes putrau. Putrau ashwam. Putravashwam. Al becomes av. Putravashwam. Putrau ashwam. Putrau is the two sons. Ashwam is a horse. Arohatam. Tom is the second person, third person, dual. Let the two sons mount arohatam from aru. Let the two sons, putrau, mount arohatam, third person dual. What? The ashwam. Horse. The one horse. Let the two sons mount the horse. Ashwam is one horse. So putrau, arohatam. May the two sons mount the horse, or let the two sons mount the horse. Depends on the context, because it's different if you say may the two sons or let the two sons. Right? Everybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
Putrau, third person, putrau, I mean nominative dual, like ramaha, ramau, ramaha, putrau, ashwam, accusative singular for horse, and then arohatam, third person dual. So imperative. So putrau, arohatam. Let the two sons, arohatam, mount ashwam, the horse. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a few samples. We'll do some more. Let's do a prayer.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.